Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Yes, indeed. It is that time, Thursday, the 13th day of August, and you're listening to Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm your host, Ryan Redhawk McPherson, sitting here in the host seat today, broadcasting from our Sandy Springs studio on the Business Radio X network. It's my distinct pleasure to welcome our guests to the studio today. First, President of BBR Marketing, Bonnie Buell Russick. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Doing very well.
Share with our listeners just a little bit about what you'll be speaking with and a little bit about BBR Marketing.
Yeah. Well, BBR Marketing is a firm. We're just about to celebrate 6 years in business, and we work solely with professional services providers. So all of our clients are accountants, attorneys, engineers, IT folks. And we actually have worked with clients in 24 states and two provinces. So,
and you specifically help those market their services to get more business and to create more of a authority figure in their marketplace, right?
Absolutely.
Good. We'll look forward to hearing more about that in detail. But let's turn our attention now to our other guest in the studio. He is CEO of Trust Fuel, and you are?
David Klanik.
David Klanik, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
David has made a career in local Atlanta tech businesses. He has led tech entrepreneur David Cummings' first company, Hannon Hill, for several years, and most recently headed up the European expansion for another one of Cummings' portfolio successes, Pardot, in London before returning stateside to found Trust Fuel. So when did that happen?
We got started back in April, actually. So
Trust Fuel?
Yep, we did.
Okay, and so tell us a little bit about what you're doing over there.
Sure. So Trust Fuel came about from a problem that I identified years ago running Hannon Hill, but also, of course, at a bigger scale with running Pardot in London, and that is that marketers are at a loss for influencing key peer-level conversations that prospects have with each other, mm-hmm. as well as with existing customers. They could be your customers and the customers of your competitors. So what Trust Fuel does is we mobilize your happiest customers to help you get the word out and win new business. So referrals, testimonials, all the way down to sales references.
Oh, that's interesting. So I have to say that the title of the company may be a little misleading. When I first saw it, I thought it had something to do with fuel for your car, you know, but now that you explain it, it actually makes sense.
Yeah, the Department of Banking and Finance thought it had something to do with money. So, yeah.
But you're building trust. You're building trust amongst the clients and customers of those businesses out there and how they can help each other succeed and as well as the business they're serving succeed. So you identified this need out there, and what did it take to kind of put this all together?
So, you know, again, it was a problem that I identified years ago. Like, everybody loves to have a great sales reference, right? Especially if you're looking to close a really large deal, that can really pull it over the edge. In fact, I'd argue that reps have to do something, make a pretty egregious error to make that go off mm-hmm. the rails. But where I saw things really happen on a bigger scale was, you know, being out there in London, pushing a name like Pardot, I was having to spell it for people, and it was, you know, trying to get into a new market. I realized how quickly that our direct marketing efforts weren't really the way that my prospects were learning about Pardot. And then I also learned later on that they were also largely making their decisions based on what other people had to say about Pardot and what Pardot had to say mm-hmm. about us. So it was something that the light bulb went off, and I went, gosh, this is the way I do things as a consumer. I mean, someone takes a picture of their food at a restaurant and then, you know, posts it to Instagram. And then I know that there's a new restaurant called Gypsy Kitchen, for instance, down the street. Or I don't know many people that don't at least go pull up an Amazon review before they go purchase a product, you know, like a LG TV I bought recently. Mm-hmm. Of course, you're going to look at that stuff. And that kind of behavior has really come about in the B2B space. And I feel that as B2B marketers, we're really still kind of operating like they still only listen to us. Like, our megaphone is the only one that they are mm-hmm. picking their ears up to, and that couldn't be further from the truth.
No, I completely understand that. When you go to look at a review these days online, whether you're purchasing a new television or wanting to go to a restaurant, you want to hear that from the person who has actually been there, whether it's good or bad. You want to not hear it from the restaurant or the TV manufacturer themselves because it doesn't feel like it's authentic or real. So you're bringing that element to the B2B marketing place so potential clients can hear it straight from those people who have had success or achieved good levels of business from those avenues there. So, why don't you think they have adapted this already? Why did it take you to come along and identify this need? What has been the road bump in that department?
I think it's there are a few different factors, right? But one of it is just habits really do die hard. I mean, think about how companies are organized. It's all about targets. People are targets, not people. Unfortunately, and you know, sales comp plans are really set up so that you go acquire new business and then you move on. And what has really happened is that technological disruption, I'd argue, in the past, definitely the last 10 years, has been so enormous that the buyer really has become so empowered that people are talking. Finally, we've always talked, but we just didn't have the means for it. Now we do, and I think that businesses are finally having to realize that they're leaving their sales up to chance by not being a part of that conversation. And so I think that businesses are realizing first that their customer experience has to be the first focus. And I think that you hear things like Net Promoter Score. That's been around for a while. And I think that a lot of businesses have started to catch on to that, still thinking, oh, that's all I got to do. Just figure out who the promoters are and then we'll listen to them and then everything's going to be great. But I think they're having to take a step back and say, wow, this thing is really catching on. Customers really are talking to each other. That really is impacting my business. And you're starting to hear some businesses out there that are starting to really think about, all right, well, maybe my sales comp plan is still going to be very much geared toward net new business, but also keeping in mind that I should be giving my reps an incentive to create advocates. So stop calling them prospects. Stop calling them targets. Yeah. Start calling them future advocates for your business.
Yeah, you're relying on them to drive business, so treat them as a little more, you know, dignity and respect, so to speak. Because if not, then you know your business could suffer from that. So, but what about these customers and really what motivates them to want to advocate on a vendor's behalf?
Yeah, it's a question I get a lot, and it makes perfect sense. Like, why would I do this for you?
You can't just ask for the referral. Tell your happy client, say, "Hey, write this review for me." They have to want to do it, what motivates them?
First off, know your customer. You cannot look at everybody as through the same lens, right? I mean, marketers understand segmentation, so the way that you I'll say the word prospect, but I mean it's future advocates. I just got through saying that, but. You know, you look at your prospects that way. Why not look at your customers in the same vein? So, you know, I think there are different reasons for it. One is that there are groups of customers that want to be thought leaders. People want to build their own brand. So to go out and advocate on behalf of you is sort of kind of like being the smartest person in the room. You know, I knew about Salesforce before everybody else did. Mm-hmm. And I've made a name for myself by advocating for that business and how well it's served me, and it'll serve you well, and people will come back to you for other means. You know, maybe they hire you as a consultant one day. So there's a motivation there. I'd argue that that's probably not the biggest group. A bigger group is really people that just enjoy comparing notes with each other. So it almost is like the conversation starter. It's I've had a great experience with a product like Pardot, and this is in a LinkedIn group, let's say. What have you guys seen? What are some of the best practices or challenges that you've had to overcome? So it's a little bit of knowledge sharing. And so, you know, they're not necessarily going out there and saying, hey, go out and buy Pardot right now. It's we've had a pretty good experience. I can't lie. You know, there's some things we'd like to fix, but what have you guys done? And that's still advocacy.
Right. So comparing notes, you know, with your colleagues there. So we're talking with CEO of TrustFuel, David Klanik, and TrustFuel helps solve that problem between customers and vendors out there and getting that relationship built up. But so tell me about TrustFuel. Let's get down to the nuts and bolts of it. What does it do? And what is the technology behind it? And then how, most importantly, can customers find it?
So the way that we are implemented today, we're actually starting out quite narrow. We're targeting B2B tech, so SaaS companies. Mm-hmm. And the way that it works is that it's an embedded JavaScript snippet. So you drop that in like you would drop in tracking code like Google Analytics or something, mm-hmm. really simple. But what it's doing is it's serving up a net promoter prompt after the first 90 days of that user's customer journey. And it gives us a means for at least identifying at scale kind of who are my net promoters right now. Of course, you're able to collect feedback across the board for your detractors and neutrals. But the focus really is, okay, well, who are my nines and tens? And if I know who they are, they're not immediately like, oh, great, welcome to the advocacy program. You are still a potential, you're a candidate.
Okay.
And at that point, what we'll do is we'll do a really small ask. It's, you know, the question is, how likely are you to refer, you know, said product to a friend? And if you say 9 or 10 on that scale, it's basically saying, yes, I am willing to refer you guys, and probably already have. And so at that point, we'll turn it right back around and say, hey, by the way, we're trying to get the word out about this new ebook or whatever the campaign is. Would you mind sharing this with your followers on Twitter or LinkedIn? And that's where the MVP is at the moment. And the thing that's really profound about that is it's kind of a subtlety. Is it's not, I keep using Pardot because that's where it came from. So,
right.
You know, people will follow people on social media. So I'm less inclined to follow at Pardot on Twitter. I'm certainly not going to go to their company page on LinkedIn. Nothing against it. It's just not a natural behavior, but I am going to be connected to lots of people that I've met. And so if I see that, you know, Ryan mm-hmm. posts this ebook, promoting a new Pardot feature or a white paper, I'm already following Ryan on LinkedIn. That's a more natural interaction. I go, you know what? I like what he has to say. I'm going to go check it out. Even if there's a hint of automation behind it, I at least know that that passed through Ryan's filter. It's an endorsement by him. I call that true social sharing.
Right. And so you're leveraging social media quite heavily here to kind of establish that relationship between potential customers and the advocate themselves. So that's good. So Twitter, LinkedIn, those are the two that you're primarily using right now?
That's correct. We're being very purposeful. We've raised investment, but we're not going to turn around and just start building. We want to be methodical. And so that's the starting point is there's a really great stat that IDC put out with Salesforce recently. LinkedIn put out a similar one about a year ago. It's interesting that they kind of similar stats. And that is 83% of B2B decision makers expect to learn about new products and services through their professional network, read LinkedIn.
Right.
And one could argue Twitter. And so that's the first thing we're tackling there is how people learn about it. But the next step is to go further into the sales and marketing funnel. How can we motivate people to leave testimonials on Teach You Crowd or even serve as a sales reference one day? But that's an advocate journey in the same way there's a prospect journey with marketing automation.
Right. Have you found any resistance from any of these customers out there? What are they resisting in adapting this new platform?
We've had people that'll kind of say, why would anybody do that? You know, and I say, well, I think it's the better question is why haven't you already done that? Because I know so many situations where, you know, I'm not going to bill myself as a big consumer, but even I've done that. And I'll say even on the B2B side, like I've used Atlassian products for years. So if you're familiar with Jira, Confluence, HipChat, and it occurred to me, I was like, you know, those guys I've been recommending to so many people already for years. It's funny. I wonder why they have never reached out to me. And then lo and behold, I was in Jira about 2 weeks ago and I got a net promoter prompt. I said, sure. Yeah. I gave you a 10 and gave them feedback. And then I started getting some communications from them. I went, mm-hmm. okay, so I'm not the only one thinking along these lines. And you think how powerful it is to get people like me have been using it for 10 years and just get that voice out there among the many that are talking about them.
Yeah. And some people enjoy giving reviews. They actively do it on Yelp or they go on Google reviews. But, I mean, they really go and take the time, no matter if they're going to a movie or a restaurant or read a new book or using a new service, and they like to do those reviews. They get into a mode of wanting to give a voice to that business or service they've enjoyed. So I guess that would be the ideal customer, you know, for Trustfuel.
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's The ideal customer for us is certainly going to be people who, companies that are already kind of manually driving their customers to G2 Crowd. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the Yelp for business software reviews. And so, you know, our value add to them is hey, I'm sure it's been taking quite a bit of manual efforts to get this out there. Let's add a little bit of natural automation here that would allow you to scale this out, potentially reach people that you didn't realize were also advocates. So, you may sell software to a decision maker, but a lot of us know that oftentimes it's someone else that reports to that person that actually uses it. Well, if you're only focusing your efforts on speaking to the decision maker, you're kind of leaving out these other people that could be equally valid voices out there. Mm-hmm. And that's what the software allows us to do, is reach those people too.
And since we are on Atlanta Business Radio, let's talk about the business element of this.
Sure.
And, you know, how does Trust Fuel make money? Is it just selling the software, or do you have reoccurring services that you sell? And then, you know, down the road, how do you hope to grow the business?
Yeah, so it's a software as a service product. It's monthly recurring. So, you know, we have three different pricing tiers, and, you know, at the price points you would expect, you know, B2B SaaS software to be priced at. Mm-hmm. So that's the primary means for making money. And then any services, implementation services that we offer is just part of the offering. Going into the future, the way that we plan on making money is just to continue to scale that effort. And of course,
maybe branching out of the tech service industry and going to other industries.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, branching out of just B2B tech, think about professional services. It's a lot harder for a business to evaluate a legal counsel or even a bookkeeper. How do you know who's the right fit for you guys, or a PR agency? You know, it's not as easy to evaluate a service as you can a product. So oftentimes people want to hear about that social proof. Give me a person I could speak to right away that's had a great experience with you. Ideally, somebody that's like me. Mm-hmm. And that can really be profound for a lot of these professional services businesses.
Well, maybe I am a vendor looking to go out there and shop around for something. Is there a way I can access the information on Trust Fuel about a potential business before I actually sign up for that business? Or do I have to pay for that service?
Yeah, so we're not necessarily like a review site or anything like that. We would be the people that helps businesses nudge their happiest customers, their biggest advocates, to go speak on their behalf. So you can go to a G2 Crowd if it's software that you're looking at. So the answer to your question is, yeah, right. you need to go to a review site if that's what you're looking for. Yeah.
Okay. So very good. I'm glad that somebody's actually doing this. You know, obviously there is a need, and we do wish you much success going forward. So, you know, how can listeners find out more information about Trust Fuel or yourself?
Absolutely. So go to trustfuel.com. We have a free sign up link there. Put in your business email address. There's no credit card required. We will certainly, you know, be in touch with you after that. And then you can also look us up on Twitter. It's @trustfuel. And
yeah, I also see you're on Facebook. So facebook.com/trustfuel. Mm-hmm. Are you on LinkedIn? If somebody wanted to get your information, particularly talk to you, because you do have that, you know, that pedigree and background that, you know, allows for someone to learn and maybe pick your brain about something out there. So
yep.
People can find David Klanac on LinkedIn. That's KLANAC. One more question for you, David, before we turn our attention over here to Bonnie. When you're not working, when you're not changing the world, what do you like to do to take your mind off things and get motivated and inspired?
I've been playing lead guitar for over 20 years now. So
is that right?
Yeah.
What kind of music?
You know, I'm a rock guy, but
right.
I was like blasting Zeppelin on the way over here. But at the same time, I like the new stuff and
okay.
Jump around like a 16-year-old in my bedroom.
Are you in a band?
That's a long time ago. Yeah, I started off doing that, but now it's just for fun.
Well, if you're a bassist or a drummer out there and want to start a band, call David as well, because you know he's one heck of a lead guitar player. But that's definitely an outlet. You've got to have that creative outlet
yep.
to stay motivated, to kind of stay grounded on a daily or regular basis. So keep up the good work, and maybe we'll see you on iTunes one day.
Maybe so. Thank you.
All right. Now let's turn our attention to Bonnie Buell-Russick. She is president of BBR Marketing. Bonnie has been a member of the creative and marketing services community for over 20 years and does not appear to be leaving it anytime soon. As president of BBR Marketing, she has relished the challenges of entrepreneurship as she's worked to grow and nurture a new business. Since the firm's inception in 2009, Bonnie has led a young company to become widely recognized and respected within the professional services marketing niche. With award-winning client websites and outstanding history of business success, having worked with clients in 23 states and two Canadian provinces. She is excited about the publication of her first book, Take Your Marketing Online, Proven Ways to Grow Your Firm in the Digital Age. She was recognized in 2012 and 2013 as one of the Accounting Today's top 100 most influential people and is in great demand as a consultant, speaker, and leader in various industry events. Well, Bonnie, sounds like you've been doing a lot.
I have been rather busy, but yes, thank you.
So BBR Marketing, been around since 2009.
Yep.
And that's a company you started?
It is. Prior to starting the company, I was the marketing director for an accounting firm, and in that role saw a huge lack of marketing resources and firms and even individuals that understood that marketing professional services is vastly different than B2B services or B2B, you know, other services, products, consumer products. It's, I mean, you're selling relationships, you're selling trust, and you're spending a good deal of money for it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, being able to develop those brands and talk about those services in a way that makes people want to buy them is challenging.
And so since 2009, BBR Marketing has been doing that for folks. But we were talking a little bit before we went on air about the niches you serve in this marketing effort. Talk about that, please.
Yeah, we only work with professional services firms. And the majority of our clients fall into either accounting and financial services or law. We also work with IT consulting and some engineering firms, and we have one medical practice that we work with. But you know, it's all, they all have that whole professional services thing in common.
And then walk me through a kind of inception of this marketing strategy. How do you figure all that out? How much time does it take?
We it entirely depends on the client, as you would expect. But with most clients, we kind of sit down with them at the very beginning and, you know, talk about who they are as a firm. What are the services they provide? Who are they trying to reach? And the thing that I preach constantly ad nauseum is, you know, what is it that makes you different? You know, because frankly, you know, when the average consumer is looking for an accounting firm, they all look alike and they all look expensive. So what is it that, you know, one firm provides that another doesn't? What is it that makes them different and sets them apart? One of the challenges is they all like to say, we provide great service. We have great people. We love our clients. Well, that's kind of the bare minimum to get into the game and to stay in business at this point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what is it that you do? Do you serve a particular industry? Do you have expertise that others might not have? Maybe, you know, you do house calls. It could be just any variety of things, but, you know, making sure that you figure out what it is that makes you different and who you're trying to reach.
No, that's a great observation. That's a question I ask some of our guests in the studio often is, you know, what separates you from the rest of the pack? And if you don't know that, you need to find out, because that's what's going to get the phone to ring more often than not, is what makes you different, especially in an accounting, you know, firm or some of these other professional services out there where there is quite a wide variety, you know, to choose from. And you've got to be able to stand out in a crowd. So,
absolutely.
But what type of marketing results that you provide that you can see immediate results with?
You know, it's been very interesting. This is, as an industry, and I'm going to focus particularly on accounting here. It's only been legal for accounting firms to market themselves since 1978. There was a decision. It's called the Bates decision. Mm-hmm. Before that, it was illegal for them to advertise.
Why was that?
There's a huge history to it, and it was considered unseemly. There were, way back in the 20s and 30s, there were people that were, you know, offering all kinds of shady deals and such, and the AICPA and various organizations, just, it was outlawed.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's kind of, I did the research. That's kind of chapter one in the book, because I was just fascinated by, this is a new industry, really. You know, 78, you know, there are people in the industry that weren't even alive at that point. So, you know, And there are still those out there that kind of look at marketing their services as kind of, I don't know, they're not real comfortable with it. To speak to, you know, what David was talking about earlier, you know, we should be able to get all our business through word of mouth. And if any business you can get that way through referrals and word of mouth and happy clients. You know, we're preaching that all the time. Go for that and make sure that that's part of your marketing strategy. But you also have to have a website. You know, at this point, again, you know, we're all going to websites to vet everything, you know, you need to have some sort of external communications that are going on. A lot of firms have had good success on social media, certainly LinkedIn, but we work with a outsourced CFO firm that in their first year, all they did was use Twitter to market their services and got 90% of their clients from there. So, you know, that's not necessarily going to work for everybody, but it worked for this one. So, you know, kind of knowing your market and where they are and trying to meet them there and reach them with your messages when they are there.
No, it surprises me every week, you know, some of the guests we have here in the Business Radio X studios who still don't have a website, who are not leveraging social media whatsoever, and they're relying on word of mouth to get business. And in this modern age, that's just not going to cut it. If you want to stay relevant and be a player in the world today, you've got to be on all types of social media platforms. You've got to have a website. And so is there services that you will set up for the customer to use and then kind of take it from there? Or do you provide these platforms and then continually monitor them for them? Are there different levels to your marketing efforts?
Different levels, and it is entirely up to what that client in particular needs. You know, there are some we go in and we start off with a strategic marketing plan and then help them implement, you know, everything from building a logo and, you know, collateral materials and websites and social media and even helping them get speaking engagements and anything that kind of falls under that umbrella. There are some firms that we just build their websites or update their websites. Having a responsive website is so important now. And so many firms built one 5, 7, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, and haven't updated it since then. We like to refer, we do a lot of websites and various other things too. But, you know, if you think about it, you know, your website's really your new front door.
Mm-hmm.
Like 100 times as many people are going to go to your website as actually cross your threshold in any business, pretty much any business, particularly one where, you know, you're not in retail. And, you know, if it doesn't represent you or it doesn't talk about who you are, it doesn't look professional, people are making buying decisions based on that, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, they'll go on to the next website.
Absolutely.
And based on what it looks like or the information provided there, they'll make their decision on what services or what firm or business to go and use. So some of the pushback we hear often here also in the studio is, well, I can't be everywhere at once. You know, you've got all these social media platforms and the website. I mean, it seems like it's a job in itself just managing all this, you know, these profiles that you have out there. But what are your thoughts on that?
You know, there's a variety of ways to skin that cat. And you don't necessarily have to be on every platform. And frankly, you probably shouldn't be on every platform. If you're talking about social media specifically, there are tools out there like Hootsuite and, you know, others like that, that allow you to kind of manage your entire social media presence from one site rather than I'm going to go to Twitter now and post something and then I'm going to log out and I'm going to go to LinkedIn and then I'm going to go to Instagram or whatever you're doing. And, you know, just kind of putting a plan in place, having a schedule, having people responsible for it, you know, writing blog posts and considering outside resources.
And you got to stay current too. You can't just, you know, post once a week or maybe once a month. You know, you don't have to do every day, but you can't just, you know, let it go to sleep on you, and you've got to stay relevant on there.
Well, and I think that's particularly important for professional services firms in that if you go to their blog site and they haven't posted anything in 6-12 months, you're going to assume that they're not keeping up to date on the industry either. Mm-hmm. So they have nothing new to say. They, you know, you're going to make assumptions that may or may not be true, but it's the message you're putting out there.
And if you can't keep up with yourself, you can always turn to BBR Marketing, and they can help you make sure that's staying current and staying relative. We're talking with president of BBR Marketing, Bonnie Buell Russick. She's also author of the new book, her first book, Take Your Marketing Online, Proven Ways to Grow Your Firm in the Digital Age. So you just recently launched this book, right?
Yes.
And what was that experience like, writing a book, or what inspired you to write this book?
Well, it was kind of interesting. The as you may assume, we're very active in the accounting industry and know a number of people at various associations. And the American Institute of CPAs is the national organization that pretty much every accountant is a member of. And they're that keep up their licensing and everything. And they approached me about 2 years ago about putting together this book. They wanted to publish something in this area.
And they knew you were the expert.
And they came to me. So right. it was a huge honor. And we talked about it. And I spent most of last fall writing the book. Two members of my team, Kelly Lucas and Sarah Warlick, were also very helpful in putting it together and editing.
Shout out to Kelly and Sarah for helping that.
Man, yeah. I couldn't have done it without them. And yeah, it was a really interesting process. I write all the time. I write blog posts all the time, articles, but long form book kind of writing is a whole different animal. And
well, what were some of the challenges you experienced in writing the book?
You know, I think part of it is kind of having the time, you know, while you're running a company, to kind of put together these chapters. The writing itself I thoroughly enjoyed, but the one thing that I did that I think the book would not have happened if I hadn't is, last September I had to be in Fort Lauderdale for a conference and I just added on a week and, you know, had this vacation rental by owner place and it had a view of the water. And I became a hermit for that week and hunkered down. And I actually literally wrote 2/3 of the book.
Oh, wow.
In that week.
In 1 week.
In 1 week. I was I could not wait to get out. You know, it was really sad to be there looking at the water. And I like even set little deadlines like, okay, once you finish chapter 3, then you can go play in the water. Yeah. Until then, no going.
No, right.
You know, silly things like that. But for me, I had to separate myself from everything.
So
and
making the time to actually sit down and write it, but almost demanding that time of yourself. You can't just say, well, today maybe I'll write, or you know, tomorrow maybe I'll sit down. You actually blocked out this time and said, that's all I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And getting it done.
Oh, yeah.
And so then once you had that, you know, rough draft put together, then you had to go back to your editor, I guess, or someone else to go over it. And then what was that finalization process like of getting the book to market?
Yeah, it was interesting because we, you know, we internally, my team edited everything. And then I had an editor at the AICPA who would take a look at things and send them back and forth. And we'd talk about different, you know, ways to, you know, tell the stories. And then it was all in their hands and they kind of put it together and made it a book.
All right. And so now that book is on Amazon, or where can folks find
it?
It
is. It's on Amazon and you can purchase it from the AICPA site, or we have links on our website at bbrmarketing.com/TYMO, which stands for Take Your Marketing Online.
And that would be the book, again, designed for maybe that accounting firm that wants to know how to take their marketing efforts to the next level, or would actually, like somebody who's in the marketing business, want to read that book to get some insight on how they can improve their own business?
I think either one, but it was written specifically for, because the AICPA was the one publishing it, it was written specifically for accounting firms.
Okay.
But I've talked to some others in law firms or engineering firms who've also read it and said, you know, okay, so we get a little bit of history on accounting. We can skip over that part and we're just going to go to the meat of the book. You know, I think it applies to any business. In particular, I'd say small to mid-sized businesses who don't necessarily have a full marketing department that they can call on to do this stuff. A lot of times it's up to the owners or the partners in a firm to kind of take care of some of these details, and this helps them know what to do and gives them tips on the process.
Well, I'm sure it's full of good insight. We definitely encourage our listeners, if you're out there in the accounting firms or professional services, to reach out and find Bonnie's book. Again, that's Take Your Marketing Online, Proven Ways to Grow Your Firm in the Digital Age. Let's turn our attention back to the marketing effort for just a moment here. And so who are you actually servicing? Of these accounting firms, is this a single operator, or would it be the large firms, you know, a lot of accountants in one place? Who's your kind of niche market there?
We tend to work with the small to medium-sized firms. There's a lot of people out there who are more than happy to work with the really large firms that have the nice big budgets. We're a firm of 6 people, and we kind of like to work with those firms that we do work with some sole proprietors, but typically we're working with the firms that have, say, 3 to 10 partners. In some cases, we're their outsourced marketing department because they haven't yet hired somebody internally. They don't need somebody full-time internally yet. One of the things that's kind of surprising a lot of times is accounting firms in particular, but also law firms, a lot of times they get to 50, 60 people before they hire somebody who's responsible for marketing. Because hiring a non-billable person is a huge decision and something that they're kind of
uncomfortable with. How do they know when it's time to reach out to someone like you? What's that like writing on the wall that they're looking at that says, I need to call Bonnie at BBR Marketing?
Yeah, you know, ironically, starting a business in August of 09 was people looked at me like I was crazy. It was a little bit of a turbulent time in our economy.
Yeah.
But what happened is so many people suddenly realized that they were not growing at the pace they wanted to. They wanted some outside expertise, and we were there to provide that for them. At any point when, you know, you're not able to keep up with, you know, your competitors are outpacing you, you're really not getting your messages out there like you'd like, you're not growing at the pace you want to, that's the perfect time to reach out to us.
Yeah, but it's still a tough decision that needs to be made. You know, where do we spend our money on? You know, do we turn it back into the business and kind of cultivate some new clients on our own? Or do we kind of reach outside the business and realize we need to market ourselves in a different way to grow the business more? So it's a tough call to make sometimes, but it's certainly worth the effort when they get the results that BBR Marketing gives them.
Yeah, and you know what? We will be very frank with prospects and say, you know what? I don't think we're the right fit for you. Here's somebody else, or here's where we recommend you spend your money first. You know, we really, it sounds cheesy, but we really do like to partner with our clients and be part of their team. And you know what? If we're not the right fit, I will be the very first person to tell you that too.
Well, let me ask you this. How is BBR marketing themselves to clients? How do people find you these days?
We're all over social media for sure. You know, we obviously have a website at bbrmarketing.com. I do a lot of speaking. I was just in Minneapolis Monday and Tuesday of this week speaking before Association of Accounting Marketing chapter up there.
So your clients don't just come from the Atlanta area.
No, we are part of the having such a small niche has given us the opportunity to develop a brand and a reputation all over North America.
Very nice.
Yeah. So, and it's fun. We actually really enjoy working with clients and that are in Atlanta, but also in other places. And, you know, today's technology, you can do that easily.
No doubt about it. And what are some of the trends you see on the horizon for marketing itself or some other, you know, maybe other businesses need to start adopting to continue to succeed?
You know, I think a lot of professional services firms in particular have been reluctant to embrace social media. I think it's not going anywhere. I've had people tell me, "Yeah, this is fly by night. It's not going to last." People were saying that about email 20 years ago.
They said that about rap music,
exactly,
you know, 30 years ago too, right? It's still around and relevant today. So,
and they're making movies about NWA.
You're right.
you know, I think social media certainly, and not just kind of dipping your toe in, but being active on it as much as possible. And another thing, making sure that everybody on your team has the training they need and understands your firm and the business plan so that they can be part of the sales process. Mm-hmm. I love what David was saying. I really want to learn more about TrustFuel because when you expand into other industries, I know some people who'd be interested. Because one of the things we're telling our clients all the time is, okay, you can toot your own horn all you want to, but if you can have a client do that for you, whether it's through a testimonial, a case study, you know, they pick up the phone and call somebody or they put it on their social media, it's so much more powerful than, you know, I'm awesome. Mm-hmm. No, let's let somebody else talk about how awesome you are. You go deliver the word.
No, we do that a lot here at the Business Radio X Studios on all of our different shows. We like to bring in someone who's an expert in their industry, but bring along a happy client with you as well. Not only are we hearing it from your word of mouth about what your service is and profession you're providing, but you're sitting alongside someone who is speaking directly to our listeners about how good your business is. Mm-hmm. And we believe audio content, and that's, you know, kind of what we're here to do is help people get the word out about their business and celebrate business. You know, with Business Radio X being the only pro business media platform out there, we believe, you know, hearing it directly from the people themselves is a great way to, you know, get the word out and market their business. So
Absolutely.
So we do see that trending here consistently, and we definitely, you know, social media is part of what we do, and we try to link people together on the different platforms. And if your business is not, you know, embrace social media, you know, according to Bonnie, now would be the time to start doing that because it's not going anywhere. So again, remind our listeners how they can find out more about yourself or BBR Marketing.
The best way to do that is to go to our website at bbrmarketing.com. We're also on Twitter at BBR Marketing, LinkedIn, mm-hmm. Facebook. You can just do a Google search for us and we'll show up.
Right. So if you're hearing this show and you're in Seattle, Washington, or in Miami, Florida, anywhere in between, BBR Marketing can help you in your efforts get the word out. So make sure you reach out to Bonnie Buell Russick, president of BBR Marketing. Also get her book, again, Take Your Marketing Online, Proven Ways to Grow Your Firm in the Digital Age. Is there a second book in the work for you?
Not right now.
Right? Let's sell
I'm
a few copies.
I'm still recovering
first. Yeah.
From the first one.
Well, hopefully you do sell a lot of copies of that. People get a lot of insight about how they can grow their professional services and really enjoy reading that book. So thank you for joining us in here today.
Thank you.
Before we let you go, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked David. When you're not out there changing the marketing world, helping accountants get new business, what do you like to do to kind of relax or take your mind off things?
A number of things, but I would say probably lately it's been kind of crazy. And I just like to spend time with my husband and dog,
okay.
Typically sitting on the back porch, having a cocktail and inviting some friends over, you know, that's kind of, it's a social thing, but
that's great to hear. What kind of dog do you have?
I have a mutt that looks like a small black lab.
Okay. And what's the dog's name?
His name is Bakuti.
Bakuti. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love dogs. I've been a dog lover my whole life. I couldn't imagine a life without a dog. They are the world's best companions for sure. So from one dog lover to another, thank you for joining us in the studio today.
Thank you.
And before we leave, we'll remind our listeners again how they can get in touch with Trust Fuel and David. If you would, sir, just say the website or Twitter.
Sure. It's trustfuel.com mm-hmm. and at trustfuel on Twitter.
Okay. We wish you much success. And again, if you reach a benchmark or a milestone out there with your business, come back in the studio and share it with us again. Or if you have a successful client who has really benefited from your services, reach out to us. We'd love to have them back here in the Business Radio X studios. So you can listen to Atlanta Business Radio every Thursday at 10 a.m. right here on BusinessRadioX.com. If you are out there changing the world and doing something interestingly to serve your market, your community, or your profession, reach out to us directly on the contact page and pitch us your story at BusinessRadioX.com. Thank you to Stone Payton and Lee Cantor on behalf of the entire Business Radio X network. I am Ryan Redhawk McPherson. We will see you next time on the radio.